Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Word, and Immanent Holy Spirit, your divine indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. Be sure to take the insert from your bulletin home with you. It'll have all the current and upcoming events, and it also has today's community song. So while we're talking this morning, you may want to take a look at that so you can sing freely during our song time. And if you misplaced that insert, you can also check the website, consciousharmony.org, and there's so much more on that. So I don't think that we ever brought to a conclusion the wonderful event that we had a couple of months ago, the auction, the silent auction, and the spaghetti dinner fundraiser for the teens. And I just wanted to report that they made almost $4,000 thanks to your generosity, and they thank you for your continued support. We are going to have a two-day commuter centering prayer retreat on Saturday, August 12th, and Sunday, August the 13th. This is your retreat. This is a retreat that you ask for, actually, because there are people who feel like that work would fall apart if they weren't there. Nobody here, I'm sure, but there are some people like So this retreat you can take without taking any time off work. And anybody who has a centering prayer practice can attend. And it's also good for those who need to have someone to be with their children during the weekend, have someone to take care of their children. So it's a wonderful retreat for all of us that have a consideration. It is $100. However, there are always scholarships, so money should never be a concern about a centering prayer retreat. There is a dateline for registration. That's going to be August 8th. And we'll meet Saturday from 8:30 to 5:30 and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5:30. And it's a wonderful retreat also for those of us who haven't been able to get a multi-day retreat in so far this year to come and just get a long, tall drink of cold living water. Refresh the soul. Also, we are taking reservations for our August 10-day retreat, and that's going to be a post-intensive retreat. So that's for people who have a centering prayer practice, who have attended intensive retreats, and would like to spend more time being loved by God for their transformation. Please see the office for more information. The deadline to register on that is July 31st. Work group proposal facilitator proposals are due today, so this is your last day to submit a proposal. There is an insert, there's going to be something on the simple explanation of work ideas class coming up, which will begin August the 10th. This is a required class for those who are seeking church membership, but it is open to everyone who would like to find out a little bit more about the work of Christianity, which is one of the two things that are our fundamental or foundational teachings. Please register in the office for that class. And if this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, welcome. We're glad you're here. There'll be somebody on the other side of the bridge to give you something to take home and read and to begin a dialogue if you'd like. And now Tim has a message for us and a blessing.
The blessing is for our llama beans. Come on down. Our pilgrims will be heading to Llama next weekend for, I don't know how many, down 17, 14? 16. 16th consecutive year our youth have gone to Llama. And what I heard from someone who just came back is that no one has a clue who Tim Cook is up there, because there were generations of residents that have come and gone since that time. But they all know the Church of Conscious Harmony is the home of happy youth. So, Don, do you want to? Oh, David, you go ahead.
Hi, I'm David Jenkins. I'm blessed to be the coordinator for this year's pilgrimage to Lama. For those of you who don't know, Lama, the Lama Foundation is an intentional interspiritual community in northern New Mexico, just north of Taos. And so we get to go up there and spend a week on the side of the mountain, camping out, doing seva for the community, hiking, and having lots of devotion time. And it's a real treat for all of us. So I want to just give everybody a chance to introduce themselves. So you guys just say your name. And then as part of our trip each year, this past weekend we had an overnight experience here at the church, and it was an all-night prayer vigil. And before going into our prayer time, we created a group aim. We do this every year, and it's a conglomeration of all of our individual aims for the trip. And so after we introduce everybody, we're going to share our group aim, and then this year, this is the first time I know this happening, the youth suggested that we create a chant out of the aim. And so we're going to share that chant with you and invite you to join in once you get the hang of it. So again, my name's David Jenkins.
Lewis Wheeler.
Sandra Evans.
Corva Wheeler.
Mary Sophia Shakespeare.
Annie McGee.
Kate Stevens.
Zach Steiner.
Melinda Reed.
Don Hale. And we're also going to be taking with us Ben King, who was part of the very first trip that went back in 96, and Shannon, and Emily, and John, and Jax, and Cade, and Liam, and Asa.
You got to use that. It doesn't work without it.
Okay. So let's pass the microphone to you. Kate, you can leave this one. Okay.
Wait, do I sing or do I?
We're just going to say it.
Oh, okay.
We consciously experience God to find ourselves in each other and connect with the presence of love.
Okay. We consciously experience God to find ourselves in each other and connect with the presence of love. We consciously experience God to find ourselves in each other and connect with the presence of love. We consciously experience God to find ourselves in each other and connect with the presence of love.
Let's join together with the open hearts that have just been communicated to us. Lord, we ask that you guide, protect, inform, inspire, and lead our friends to their pilgrimage at Lama. And may their hearts open May their minds be at peace as they experience the holiness of that place, the gift of your continued presence there for so many years in so many people. And may they return to us filled with the love they've just claimed to share it with our community and with the youth of our community. What a blessing it is to send them on their way. We ask travel mercies to be with them, angels to go before them, making their way safe and straight, and for a happy return. We pray it in Christ. Amen. Amen. Don is still my hero. He gets into a van every year with young people without their apparatuses. And what's that? They're very cranky. I've heard about this, never having experienced it. It's called withdrawal. May you go with God and come back safe. Thank you. I don't know what we're going to get out of me today. I did something I never do. I stayed up late last night. Saturday night's quiet night for me. Just lay up and listen, pray and wait. And we went out and partied last night. We were out till 9 o'clock. This is just unheard. 36 years. I don't know if we stayed out that late on Saturday night. But what we did was so special to me, because we went over to Peter and Shannon's house with Alicia and Donald, and the six of us had dinner together on Peter's birthday. And his mom was there, who I just really love. So as I sat down at the table and saw us all, I said, oh, there's Donald and Alicia, they're the continuity. And here's Barbara and Tim, they're the ones that are moving on. And here come Peter and Shannon moving in to share the growth of the next phase of the community. And therein, Mom is the source, and Jenny was the source. And it was all, to me, highly symbolic, breaking bread together as this community. Don and Alicia have been here how many years, Alicia? 21 years. Barb and I have been here for 30. Peter Shannon's been here for 17, I think, and then Peter came 10 years ago. So there's an ongoingness of the spiritual presence that all of us have learned together how to share. This wasn't a ready-made community. It wasn't something that was on paper and then we do it. It was, well, let's discover together how to bring ourselves into an appreciation of silence, how to balance out those parts of us that are unbalanced, and most of all, to really worship, to really understand the activity and the presence of the actual living God as a community. Now, one of the gifts that has accompanied our growth these many years is the fact that we talk to each other from time to time. And that's very heartening to me, very good for me personally, because I love the exchanges, and I'd love to kind of feel where we're at, where we're coming from. Because in some senses, my position isolates me from the community, and I'm kind of invited back in when we dialogue. So over the last few weeks, we've introduced a number of subjects, which I'd suggested would be good opportunities to experiment with. And I'd like to know if there's anything you've learned from that you'd like to share, or we introduced some challenging concepts last week. Maybe there are things you'd like to talk about there. And if not, whatever. But I want to chat a little bit. Now, it's always hard to be the first one to pick up the microphone, but usually the energy gets rolling. So let's find out, what have you learned in these past weeks, or at all, ever? Yes, it's Jill.
Well, I was at the introduction Oh,
thank you.
Introduction to Centering Prayer yesterday, the training, and what keeps getting brought home is the silence and the prayer, and that's what has formed this community. And I was with a group of people that I didn't know very many of them, and I might have seen faces, but what connects us is that going deeper into the silence. And after just a few short hours together, I look forward to seeing these people, and I don't know their stories, and I don't necessarily know what they do in life, but now my heart feels alive at the idea that I'll get to see them again, and more than see them, to sit in silence with them again.
Wow, that's really it. Going to be a long 40 minutes, isn't it? Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I just...
Could you stand up for us, please? Yeah.
It's hard to put into pithy words all the stuff I get from coming to hear these messages every Sunday, but I just wanted to take a minute to besides saying that I've been listening to the Elia DeLeo CDs going to and from work, and just an amazing outpouring of inspiration that engages both the head and the heart. I just thank you so much for bringing her here. But I was just going to say briefly that Cynthia and I just got back from Lama, and grown-ups can go to Lama too. I had felt a calling since hearing these amazing young people tell their stories here for a couple of years to go up there. You certainly don't have to go to Lama to find spirituality, but I think there's some value in doing a pilgrimage, an intentional journey, and that's an amazing place with deep roots and reasonably priced places to stay, for little cabins with real beds for $30 to $50 a night. You get all your meals all day for $25, and there are hermitages where you can stay in a little place up on the mountain all by yourself for days and read and meditate if you want to. So it's a beautiful place, and I just want to say thank you to Tim and Barbara, and that's about it.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, well, if I start talking, we'll never stop, so... yes?
I don't have anything planned to say, but I wanted to mention service, and I wanted to mention an intention. What was just spoken about, doing an intentional pilgrimage, makes me think about my intention since I moved to a small town south of Austin, and I've been commuting back and forth. It's been my intention to grow like-minded community in my neighborhood. And I don't think I would have ever been able to have made the inroads that I have had I not been prepared by this community. And wherever I go, this whole community goes. So it's very amazing to watch the words of other people go through me and out into the greater world. So I had a lot of fear around doing that, and I have no fear anymore about that. I'm very happy to say that wherever I go, when I am awake and aware, and heck, I'm not mostly, just let's be honest. It happens anyway, and I don't do it, so whatever.
You know,
there's a shock. And the service part of it, gosh, what a growing experience. Some of us can notice about our personality that service is a way of trying to get more love. And so through the work of Inner Christianity and taking full advantage of all the opportunities to serve here, I've become a better, more awake discerner of that. And it's been very valuable, because when you truly are serving and you're a vehicle, it is a vehicle for transformation and not a vehicle for just looking better on the outside to other people. So I feel very grateful for all this church. Yeah. And not the church so much as the community brings every moment.
Sure.
Hey, Patsy.
Thanks. Yes, is that Kieran?
Well, I just wanted to say thank
you. We encourage standing, Kieran. Come on.
Stand up. I just wanted to say thank you for that beautiful experience yesterday in Centering Prayer.
I grew up with a Hindu father who made us meditate, so I thought, oh, I could skip that. But it was so, I'm glad I didn't, because it was so beautiful and brought me to a centering prayer in a different way, and I enjoyed it thoroughly and felt very renewed
yes.
in doing it. So yes. Thank you.
Yes. Marie.
You made everybody stand up today.
The joke is, Marie says, I am standing up.
When we came here all those years ago, I have to say that this is the first church that I was ever involved with that felt like home. When I came in, I didn't know anything about it. Some friends had said, you ought to try this church sometime. We like it. And we did. And we came once, and we were caught completely. Because it was all-encompassing. It wasn't, listen to what I say, and then, you know, show up again next week, or show up at Easter and Christmas, or, you know, whatever. And that involvement, that learning, that brought everything that I'd been studying since I was very young, without having a place to put it, has been the most beautiful experience, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Yeah. Me too. Thank you, Marie. Yes. Is it Tamara?
What has really stood out to me the last couple of weeks is self-inquiry.
Yes.
Inquiry of the heart. And I've seen a lot of the difference between power and control that's talked a lot about on Thursday nights, but that there's so much power in every moment in the heart, but it's nothing about control. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, 180 from control. Yes, go ahead, Catherine.
So two things stick out
put
in my mind.
Yeah.
There we go. First is affirmations. I got the blessing to take Lessons in Truth in
yes.
January. And I was introduced actually to affirmations in the prayer circle on Wednesdays with Barbara, which
yes.
is amazing. And in case anybody doesn't know this, there's boxes where you can put in prayer requests. And Barbara meets with whoever wants to come every Wednesday before at 10 a.m. before the contemplative lunch. And there's a list of affirmative prayers. So whatever the theme is, if it's forgiveness or peace of mind, whatever it is, there's an affirmative prayer for it. So she intentionally prays. So when you do submit that prayer request, people truly pray on it, which was amazing. But so I got introduced there. And then Dawn led us in Lessons in Truth.
Yes.
This book is in the bookstore. It's amazing. And so to study that and to get to read and understand the power of affirmations is amazing. That was an absolute transformation,
yes.
heart shift there.
Yes.
And then the second thing that really sticks out is the collective. How it's not, I love you, Tim, but it's not the Tim Cook Show. It's the whole.
Absolutely.
The morning silent times in Theosis chapels, the prayer circle, the contemplative lunches, the Wednesday night group, the Friday devotionals, the awareness around the Eucharist, everybody here and the love, the way people look at each other, it's truly eyeball to eyeball. People stop and they look and they love, and seva and the breakfast. I mean, the list goes on and on. And people are raw. And Thursday night, I mean, it's just, it's an abundance, and it's the collective whole that makes this place so sacred and beautiful and rich soil. You know, just, it's, I'm so grateful.
Yeah, me too. Me too, Catherine. Mary Leia, please.
Something that Marie said really touched me, and that is when you come here, you feel like you've come home. And I think for me, that is the feeling of acceptance, that we're fellow travelers. Mm-hmm. And that, as Catherine said, there's a lot of offerings here. And that the thing that ties it all together is that the people here are willing to accept the others who come. So when Britt and I are asked about our church, we often say, it's a great place for those who are recovering from something, comma, and aren't we all? In that there's something that all of us has to accept about ourselves and come to love in ourselves. And this is a place to do it. Tamara said something about the self-inquiry, and that really struck me the day you said, who are you? Who am I? And you made the really sharp distinction between who I am and what I am. And the first day you talked about the who I am and said it wasn't as important as the what I am. And then you said something that really hit me. It was, if I ask you the question, what are you? And you start with the facts and the figures, and I'm born back in my case, 1959 in Canada, and I start with that, I've missed it. And that's exactly what I was doing in my mind when you said, I missed it. And I had this moment of, wow. Oh crap, I'm not doing it right. And then I had this deep, no, you're doing it right for you right now. Accept where you are in your journey. Keep listening, keep studying, keep praying. There is no right, there is no wrong. This is it, accept it. Where I am in my journey, I accept. And the power, though, is listening to the stories of others who are on the journey and taking heart and seeing in them the love for me and I the love for them, and would just accept it and let it be, because all is well, exactly as it is.
Thank you. I feel like the richest man in the world right now. Mama is indescribably beautiful. You know, the New Mexico air is very clear, and the light is unusual. It has a mystical atmosphere to it, which of course is why it was sacred land to the native peoples who lived there. And the dome at Lama is built onto the side of a hill, Flag Mountain, and it's quite a way up. So that when you sit in the dome, you're looking out through an octagonal window, maybe 8 feet across, and it's framing some volcanic cones, a couple of them, out on the way out, miles away, on the flat plain. And as the sun moves through the day, those cones take on different aspects and different feelings and offer different moods to participate in. But it's a place where, for the first time in my life, I slowed down to the speed of the earth and stopped being a man who commuted every day in Denver traffic doing affirmations all the way, Catherine. All the way. I am love. Pure, sweet, eternal love. I bring joy wherever I go. Thousands and thousands of times. So I slowed down at Lama and started breathing from a different place. Started seeing from a different place. And the beauty all around me finally became big enough that I went silent inside and could hear the being of existence. So on our very last night at Lama, I want to freeze frame this for a minute. We're going to do a whole different, sorry about that, you guys. You heard about seva at Lama, or it was called Karma Yoga when I went there in 1978. Karma Yoga means work for the sake of the sacred, just participating in being for the sake of being itself. Nothing glorious about it. Work without identifying with it. Well, I signed up for this Karma Yoga retreat, and it cost me a lot of money in 1978 terms, and I wasn't exactly wealthy, but I had to be there. So I find out this Karma Yoga retreat means that I'm going to carry rocks to build a wall by the kitchen. And as I'm carrying rocks, now by this time I was already involved in self-inquiry, and already for quite a few years doing self-observation, but you know, observing it and then seeing the content is really it's hard. So there I was carrying rocks, and what I'm hearing in my head is, geez, I'd like to come to this place, they're making me carry a rock. I wanted to carry your own damn rocks. And so this was my accompaniment as I carried rocks from one place to another, was the inner dialogue of that in me, which I did not know how pervasive it was. That inner voice that was constantly accusing, being against something, feeling gypped. It was like, oh my God, and I couldn't shut it up because I'd gone silent. And deeper than that. So this retreat was powerful for me in that I got to meet Ram Dass, who I thought of as my guru at the time, and Stephen Levine, his co-chair for the big retreat. And my heart was overflowing in countless ways. But the last night we were there, we gathered under the full moon out in there's a little plaza in front of the dome. And there were maybe 70 or 80 people at that retreat. And we've gotten to know each other much the way you talked about, in the silence. You know people in the silence, because we didn't talk. And in the silence, you get to know them in a different way. And here were all these people I was in love with. And that night, we were in a big circle, and Ram Dass led us in communion under the full moon in that sacred circle of people, using cups that we had fired ourselves during the week at the kiln. And I was overwhelmed by the love I felt, and realizing I had to go back to Denver and traffic and traffic and traffic and the job that I really didn't feel suited me, but I didn't know what else to do. So there I was under the moon with this full feeling of freedom and anticipation of what was yet to come, having to go back. And a prayer came out of me that was so deep, a hunger, a wish for community like this. This is what I wish for. And I just heard the response to that wish coming back through the voices of the friends that have chosen to create community here together. Ask and it shall be given is not just a platitude. Deep asking from a real hunger draws God forth into our experience in physical and obvious ways. The book that Catherine was referring to, Lessons in Truth, is the foundation of everything I know about the spiritual journey. Everything. The ultimate part of it is faith. Ask and it will be given. It doesn't say ask and then make it happen. Let's work on that for a little while. Because almost inevitably, we want to make it happen. We're working for results. But when we simply hunger, well, today's scripture from Romans 8, beautiful text. Paul says, we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit in us comes to our rescue, raising up our prayers to God with inexpressible groanings, with longings. That's what God can't resist. There's no self in that. That's the human heart in us, aching for meaning, calling for company. We're so isolated and individuated It's not real. The human being, the human family is a collective. As we said last week, it's one heart with 8 billion faces. And our hearts are longing for each other, longing for intimacy with our Creator, who is always already here, no matter where we are or what we're doing. But that longing is a engages a process. This retreat was in 1978, and the responses I heard coming back out of your hearts and your mouths this morning is, I can't do the math, but it's a long time later. So here's where I wanted to head today anyway. This is from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus is speaking in parables. He speaks in parables. And the disciples don't know why he talks. Why don't you just say it out straight? So if I was to say, you're sound asleep, you're mechanical, you're living a lie, and you're in reaction to everything that's unimportant, would you be able to take that in and make it your own? Well, that's not the case anyway, so don't worry about it. But by making little stories, by making little comparisons, the mind is able to assimilate and to hold on to something that then reveals meanings. See, we're all hungry for meaning. Well, these parables come into us, and they build like little seeds in us. They begin to grow, and they bring meaning into our lives and understanding into our lives, and they empower us to live the life God created us to live. So today's parables, there are three of them. He talks about a man sowed good seed in his field, and he went to bed, and his hired hands went to bed, and while they were sleeping, somebody came and sowed weeds in the same field. And the hired hands come and say, Master, well, they're not hired hands, they're slaves, but depending on which translation, it's a lot easier to say hired hands. The hired hands come and say, Master, there are weeds growing along with the wheat you sow. Shall we pull them up? And the master says, No, just leave them. Because if you pull up the weeds now, you will probably pull up the wheat too, because it hasn't got roots that are deep enough. Let's wait till harvest time, and then we'll sort it all out. And another one is, a woman took 3 measures of flour, and she added leaven yeast to it, and mixed it till it was all mixed through. And the third one is the mustard seed, of course. The kingdom, and these are all, the kingdom of heaven is like a man sowed seed, and the weeds came. The kingdom of heaven is like flour that a woman kneaded yeast into. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which begins as the smallest of seeds and ends up as a great bush. Now, there are many interpretations, many meanings attributable to each of these texts. So when we do the Lectio Divina style of work with them, we let these texts into us, and then we feel our way into them, and we let them work in us and begin to grind up against them a little and say, well, what does that mean in me? Where is that meaning in me? It's not information. It's not knowledge with which to cover ourselves so that we look like we know something about the Bible. This is the way through. This is the very yeast itself. This is the seed of life for each of us. So in Lectio fashion, I looked at these and I said, what have they got to tell me? And I wondered, well, why are the three of those parables put right next to each other? Weeds and wheat, we'll wait till the end and sort it out. Yeast and dough, got to wait a while for it to rise. Mustard seed has to grow into a big bush. The kingdom of heaven is a process. It's a process. It is at hand. It is within us now. And it is a process of its revelation. So the hungry man at Lama Foundation in 78 hungered for those that hunger and thirst will be fed. Remember that? He hungered for community, and I just got fed by it. Wow, it was a long process. So sometimes when we embark on the spiritual journey and we get a little bit of knowledge, we think, oh, I should be better. I should be farther along. I want to be finished now. Well, that's a typical American way, or an addictive way, of wanting quick results. Let me change myself really quickly. I want to drink. I want to smoke. I want to do something to make myself feel different now. Well, the problem with doing that is you always feel the other side of the coin later. The dice are loaded against us when we do things like that. Processes are how life happens. Life isn't sudden. I've noticed that the only things that happen in life that are sudden are destructive. Volcano, boom. A hidden creature, boom, grabbing another one. Living processes, creative processes are gradual. They're really an unfolding. And so the wheat and the tares grow together. The wheat and the weeds grow together. And they're pulled up at the end. It's a process. And the process is one in which the good seed, which is you and me that were sown into life, gradually grows in the soil of a community that's dedicated to the process of waking up together and bearing the Christ into the world. But it's not an instantaneous thing, and as we all know, Mary Leah said, we're all at different stages in the process. But we're in the process. The process itself is the goal. So the yeast that is the kingdom of heaven has to rise the bread. It doesn't suddenly get pumped up. And the mustard seed gradually grows. The kingdom of heaven starts with small ideas and it gradually takes over your whole mind and heart and life. And it opens your eyes to seeing the wonder of God's creation everywhere and in everyone. The call is to do the self-inquiry. Who am I acting like I am right now? Am I the employee? Am I the father? Am I only the husband? Am I only the sports fan? Am I only this, all the roles we play? Or is there a what that is deeper? And it is that inquiry, not information, that makes us have new ideas. It's the very inquiry into our own experience. What is living me now? What is this light that awakens my consciousness? What is going on here? And what we'll inevitably come to is there is a loving mystery happening here. And it may not be visible that it's happening to everybody, but it only matters that it's happening to the ones closest to us. We're participants in a developmental process in which some of the human race are coming into the kingdom. It just looks like ordinary life. But it's lived from an extraordinary liberated place in which no concerns, no fears, no objectification of others can last because now we've been given eyes to see. It's all one. There's only one. God is one. Now we'll hear that a lot of times before we pass from this plane of existence and into the next one. We'll hear about that oneness. But the only time that oneness truly matters is when it's in us. When we allow the weeds to be there in God's love, He'll pull them out when it's time. That's His business, not ours. He planted good seed. That's you and me. We don't have to weed ourselves. We just have to grow in His garden, the garden of silence. We don't have to leaven our own or raise our own loaf, but the leaven is the corruption in our lives. It's what's making us grow. Yeast and corruption in the Old Testament and in the Gospels mean the same thing. And this mustard seed, that's what I heard growing when I heard people speaking. Started out with a community, none of us had any idea what we were doing. And there were many times when I thought, this is a waste of time, nobody's going to get this. Well, that was just me working for results and thinking it ought to show itself a different way. But what I got to hear this morning, and what I felt last night at dinner with Alicia and Donald and Peter and Shannon and his mom, was the depth, the continuity, that God has put in this community that began that night on Lama but is moving forward through Peter and us all into the next level of our work with God and our delighted participation in the mystery. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Surrender to the luminous. This text is Psalm 84. My soul is longing for the courts of the Lord more than the
And now it's time for us to practice centering prayer together in community. And to prepare ourselves, we simply become aware that our body weight is supported by the chairs that we're sitting in. And in that awareness, we accept that support and relax. Deeply let go. Open. Still within and without. Relaxed, open, alert. We allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love. Resting in the heart, we listen with the ears of the heart to the contemplative poet, the prayer of the pilgrim. O Lord of the absurd, why did you birth me into being with not enough answers to fill my questioning heart? I am a pilgrim, Lord. I am looking for a home. I am death in search for life. I am life in search for death. Lord of the absurd, empty me of the meaninglessness that stands between death and life. Empty me of all this unbirth. Lord of the absurd, teach me how to die so that I can truly live. And we open to that death of our clinging to the false self and open to the life that is right here now as we open to the beloved in silent prayer. Our family prayer, as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that deepens us. And we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every particle of His creation. So taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of what has always been true. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. Thank you. awake now to infinite goodness. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. As we participate in Holy Communion, it's a reminder to each of us, food for remembrance, that all that is holy. And if we recognize that for a moment in our participation in the Eucharist, we can extend it outward to the recognition that all that is truly sacred and holy. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
We'll sing our communion song, Abba, Father.
Jesus, your son.
living and eternal Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing Amazing Grace. We thank you for quickening our holy longing that draws us home to you. Amen.